The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of Praise 107.9 or its parent company, Delmarva Educational Association.
Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
On the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at somebody and say, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
And I've really been doing a teaching on it, and I'm sure it has a different twist than most of you, because all your life you've been taught that the Holy Ghost is a rebuker, that he's a convictor, that he beats you down. But the Lord let us know in his word four times, in St. John 14, 15, and 16, that the Holy Ghost is a comforter.
Yeah.
Hey, lay hands on yourself, say he's a comforter. And I let you know that it is not the Holy Ghost tearing you down. It is not the Holy Ghost beating you down. And even though you don't feel like it, even though you may go through something bad, but I let you know that what is really tricking you is your heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. And I told you that we as the body of Christ, we are too caught up in our feelings. If y'all don't talk back to me, I'm going to throw this mic at you. But look at somebody and say, get out your feelings. Tell somebody else, get out your feelings. And I'm telling you that we need to stop enshrining our feelings. We need to stop putting feelings on the throne. We need to stop trying to make feelings feel like just because you feel something the way it's law. You may feel something and what you feel is wrong. I just told you the other day, I can walk up to you right now and tell you that your mama's died. That your mama just died. She got in a terrible accident. Her head was cut off and all these terrible things. And guess what? If you believe me, you'll start crying. You'll begin to panic. But I could be telling you a complete lie. But feelings are so deceitful that even if it's a lie, your feelings will dominate you and make you feel like something is true even when it ain't true. So you have to be careful of the spirit of offense, because your feelings will keep you, your feelings will keep you offended. Your feelings will keep you mad with folk. Your feelings will think folk got something against you. Look at somebody and say, get out your feelings. Yeah. So we have to put our feelings in their place. Feelings are wonderful. We have a God who cannot, the Bible says, for we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the what? Feelings of infirmity. So he can feel what we feel, but we should never be dominated by our feelings. As a matter of fact, we should dominate our feelings. And how many people know your feelings will have you feeling sometime like you ain't saved?
Y'all better talk back to me in here.
Amen. Your feelings will have you feel like God is upset with you, God is mad at you, God gonna get you. But how many people know God is not trying to get you? Amen. I don't care what religion told you. I don't care how much they told you. God gonna get you. God sitting up in heaven ready to beat you down. Slap your neighbor. Say, God's in love with you.
God's in love with you.
So what you need to do? You need to put your feelings in their place. You need to tell your feelings how to feel. Amen. If I feel bad, tell yourself, I'm not gonna feel bad. My feelings may try to get me offended with you, but I choose not to be offended. Amen. That's a choice that you have to make. You have to make a choice that I'm not going to be offended with you. I'm not going to get upset with you. There's nothing you can do that's going to cause me to get out of character, because I choose not to be controlled by my feelings. Say it again. Get out your feelings. So 1 John 3:19 tells us, in 1 John 3:19, and hereby we know that we are of truth, and we have to assure our heart. Look at somebody and say, assure yourself. But look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, for if our heart condemn us. Now this is good. You need to see this, because it shows you that it is not God who is doing the condemning. But what's condemning you is your heart. And I believe resident in our heart is our conscience. But what messes us up a lot of time is we feel that because we feel condemned, it must be God. But it can't be God, because Romans 8:1 already let us know there is no condemnation. Come on, church. To them who are in Christ Jesus. Look at somebody and say, God is not condemning me. Now, a lot of people always finish and say, well, Prophet Carl, you can't stop the scripture there now. It says to those who are not in the flesh and walk after the spirit. And to be honest with you, in the original versions of that text, That's not even there. You can look up Romans chapter 8 verse 1 in a whole lot of different other texts. And in about 11 other versions, they left that completely out. Because I want you to know that because God sees you in the spirit and your spirit man is perfect, you can never be condemned. He never sees you in the flesh. He never sees you where you are, but God sees you through his son, Jesus. Look at somebody and say, God never condemns. Come on, say it again. God never condemns. Shake your neighbor. Say, never, ever, 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 ever. Go back to 1 John 3:19. He said in verse 20, 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, look at what the word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. 1 John chapter 3. For if our heart condemn us, God say, if your heart is condemning you, don't care about your heart. Because your heart will trick you. God is greater than your heart. I know your conscience is making you feel like God is upset with you, but God said, I want you to know, I'm greater than your conscience. Because God never condemns a born-again believer. Now, I want you to see this word. Because the word condemn literally means to denounce. It means a vehement disapproval. Ooh, this is good. That means that if I'm condemned, if I believe I'm condemned, I'm saying that I believe God is denouncing me. Or God is disapproving of me. And he cannot disapprove of me because he doesn't see me in the flesh. The only way he could disapprove me is if he related to my flesh. God doesn't relate to my flesh. John 4:24. God is a what? They that worship him must worship him how? So that means that if I have a born-again spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are what? Behold, all things have what? My spirit man is new according to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and according to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24, my new man has been created in righteousness and true holiness. My spirit man is holy. My spirit man is perfect. I'm not trying to be holy. I am holy. Hey, yes, God. And I'm not holy because of what I do. I'm holy because of what he did. Lay hands on yourself again. Say, I'm holy. Come on, say that with power. Say, I'm holy. Okay, so if I'm holy and God sees me in the spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, he said that I chose you and me before the foundation of the world. Not only did I choose you, I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He said, I've already accepted you into the beloved. That means that in the spirit realm, God sees me just like Jesus. And if I say that God disapproves of me, I'm saying that God disapproves of Jesus, because God doesn't see me in myself. He sees me through Jesus. Y'all better hear me in here. That's why he said, Malabashata. He said, put on the new man. See, if you have on your old man, he can see you. But when I put on Jesus, if I had time, I would break this thing down to you. But there was two twins named Jacob and Esau. Y'all remember them? They had a daddy by the name of Isaac. And the Bible declares that the elder son is the one who gets the blessing. So what happened was Jacob tricked his brother Esau into giving him his birthright. You know, Esau was hungry. And Jacob tricked him to give him his birthright. Not a babahusha. Now the birthright was a garment. That's why Joseph, when he had favor from his daddy, he gave him a coat of many colors. Because whenever you had favor from your father, halamasha, he would put something on you so everybody can see it. That's why folk hate you, because of what you got on you. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this. Look at somebody and say, it ain't you, it's what you got on you. They don't understand how you getting the doors open, you got open, how the favor's on you like it is. Look at somebody and say, I got some on me.
Sit down. Sit down. So what happens is, y'all sit down, start getting it. So what happens is, Jacob tricks his older brother Esau and tricks him into giving him his birthright. Well, look at what happens. They get ready to go see daddy. At this time, daddy is dim. His eyes are dim. He cannot see. Jacob walks up to daddy to get the blessing. Watch this though. But Jacob is smart. He doesn't come with Jacob's clothes on. He come with Esau's garment. He put on his elder brother. So when he got to his daddy and he said, "Daddy, I want the birthright." Daddy said, "You sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. You sound like Jacob, but because of what you got on, I don't recognize it's you. Jesus is our elder brother. And when you put him on, God might not do it for you, but he'll do it for Jesus." Glory! Yes, sir. My God. My God. Y'all sit down. Amen to God. Amen. The Bible declares that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus is your elder brother. Why is he your elder brother? Because he's the first fruits. Everything that you are, he became first. And because he is, so am I. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. I wish I had a church in here that read your Bible. Look at somebody and say, "Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus." Tell them, "You ain't worthy. You ain't qualified. But if you put on Jesus, God will give it to you." If you put on, that's why the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it." And with, look at somebody and say, "Get in the name. Get in the name. Get in the name." I say, "Get in the name. Get in the name." I say, "Get in the name." That's why we don't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we baptize in the name of Jesus. Because when you go under the water and put on his name, you become identified as his bride. Because when a woman gets married, she take on her husband's. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Y'all sit down so I can preach. So you're a new creature. And God is not disapproving of you. He's not mad at you. Because he don't see you in the flesh. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that when I mess up, he still loves me. Look at somebody and say, "You ain't got it all together. You should be doing it." I don't care how much you sit in here and dance. I don't care how much you speaking in tongues. Amen. Only reason folk think you holy because they don't follow you when you go home. You don't always think the right thoughts. You don't always say the right stuff. Talk to me in here. Amen. Amen. The hands on yourself, say, "I'm not condemned."
I'm not condemned.
Say it again, say, "I'm not condemned."
I'm not condemned.
The Bible declares there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that's why in a lot of our men, I did a study, and they said in mental institutions, they a lot of time take Bibles out because Christians come in a lot of times and minister guilt. And cause people to end up feeling worse because they don't have a revelation
of the love of God. And we use the Bible and beat people up. But tell your neighbor again, God's in love with you. Can I go deep? I believe. I can't prove it. This is just carnology. But I believe that Adam and Eve were created without a conscience. Because it wasn't until they ate that, watch this, they begin to judge themselves. They were God conscious. When they sinned, they became self conscious. Can I help you? Being naked was always wrong. What?
Teach.
Now, they were born naked. But being naked was always wrong. How you know? Because the minute they sinned, the first thing they did was put on clothes. Wait 1 minute. If me eating is why I ate wrong, why didn't they cover their mouth? It wasn't the knowledge. It was the nakedness that was wrong. The first thing God said to them is, Adam, where are you? He said, I went and hid myself because I was naked. God asked a question. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you you're not good enough? Who told you you're not saved? Who told you you're not healed? Who told you you got cancer? Who told you that God's upset with you? See, it's your conscience. Come on, Prophet Karn. It's your self-conscious that has you judging yourself, and you are more self-conscious than you are God-conscious. Is this good teaching? See, I don't depend on my conscience because my conscience is not reliable. Yes. Give me Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Let me show you something.
Take your time with this.
Your conscience is not reliable.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Verse 19, who hold the truth in righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Verse 19, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Verse 21, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Verse 22, and their foolish heart was darkened. Your conscience cannot be reliable. Even in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that it's possible for your conscience to be seared. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 says, watch this, that we're supposed to purge ourselves from an evil conscience. It says you got to purge yourself from an evil conscience. Look at somebody, say, purge yourself. And most of you beat yourself down. And the reason you beat yourself down is because your conscience is condemning you. Right now, if I was to ask some of you, I told you the other day, if somebody in here was to drop dead, and I said, how many of y'all believe God can raise them from the dead? Everybody will shout, hey, come on, hey. You'd be ready. And most of you would be ready for me to pray. I'm gonna go somewhere now. Most of you would be ready for me to pray, because your conscience will make you feel like you're not worthy enough to raise the dead. And the only reason you feel that way about me is because you don't follow me home. See, I tell the truth. That's the only reason you may feel like somebody is more qualified than you. It's because you don't know their life outside of church. Come on, church. So you will say, oh, I know prophet can do it. I know the mother can do it. I know pastor, but ooh, the man of God. Oh, I know they can do it. They can read it. But if I say you do it, you would immediately condemn yourself. Say, I didn't pray enough today. I didn't fast enough today. I did some wrong. And God is not raising the dead because of you. Hey, but I stand in his boldness. That when I stand up there, I don't care what I did wrong. What's going to do it is who I am in the spirit. Come on, y'all better talk back to me in here. Because I know who I am in the spirit. There's nothing you can do to take away my confidence. Cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Look at somebody and say, I believe God. Let me tell you something. You know why? You know God is, see, this is why you can't get in condemnation. Because when you condemn a house, that means that a house is not fit for use. And when you get into condemnation, the enemy makes you feel like you're not fit to be used. But lay hands on yourself tonight. Say, I am worthy. I'm worthy. Say, I am holy.
I am holy.
I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Not because of nothing I do. Come on, church. I know this is killing you, but I said not because of what I do. Robert Kahn, you saying I can live any kind of way? No, I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that you living right should be a byproduct of your relationship with God. It's not a way to God, it's a way from him. That as a result of my relationship, out of my relationship with him flows his character. Because anybody you spend time with, you start acting like them. When you spend time with somebody, you don't even have to tell them to act like you. If you spend around somebody long enough, you start acting like them. You start saying stuff they say. Doing something like them. And when you spend time with Jesus, guess what? You start acting like him. Don't tell me you've been with Jesus and you don't act like him. Hey, can I keep going? Am I helping somebody? Lay hands on yourself again. Say, I am holy. So let's go to Romans 8 again. And I showed you that God is your comforter. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. He's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. Get that in your spirit, that the Holy Ghost is your comforter. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
And because he's my comforter, I have to assure myself that he loves me. Amen. I say I have to assure myself that he loves me. I cannot allow my feelings to tell me he don't love me. Because how many people know feelings will make you feel like God done left you? Come on, y'all be honest in here. You go through some bad situations in your life, be like, God, where in the world is you at? And you come to me, would you pray for me? I just don't feel him no more. So what? He's not with me because I feel him. He's with me because his word said he'll never leave me. I believe that. He promised to never leave me nor forsake me. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. If you go to a church and you say, ooh, Prophet Khan, I like that church, but I don't feel nothing. Let me tell you something. That ain't God. God ain't in the room because you feel him. God in the room because he said, well, two or three gather in my name. I go to church, but I don't feel like a lot of this that we be calling feeling God is church antics. That ain't God, that's me. See, y'all got to recognize a lot of stuff is culture. You go into different cultures, they don't shout like us. They don't do all that. Every culture don't do that. Some cultures, we over there bucking, they're looking, what is they going to do? Amen. You got some church spirit, Lord, come on, everybody just go to laugh. Now, if you were in a homeless church and we go up and see people laughing, they say, look at them folk in there playing with God. The Bible say no jesting and jiving and foolish talk. That's the devil. Some people, the Spirit of the Lord come home, they don't jerk, they weep. Matter of fact, with the Spirit of the Lord, most of y'all see me dancing and stuff. I'm just enjoying Jesus. But when the Spirit of the Lord come on me real heavy, I can't do none of that dancing. Hey, it's just a weep come out my spirit. Sometimes Spirit of the Lord come on me, make me laugh and cry at the same time. Am I making sense?
Yes.
So all of that matters when it comes to the presence of God. You cannot be thinking God is in a room based on you seeing people jerking. Because I done seen folk doing all that and leave out of there and nothing change. How do I know God is with KCC? Because God said, well, two or three gather in his name. I don't care if I don't buck, if I don't get a chill. When I get ready to pray for somebody to be healed, I'm not waiting on no feeling in my hand. Then wait till my hands get hot. I got to wait on this fire. Hey, La Masha, you cannot be led by a feeling. God, you said I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I curse this infirmity. I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. It's not a feeling. Say amen.
Thank you for listening to the prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m., meeting at Grace and Mercy Cathedral, 2670 Dr. Carver Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m., at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433 or 1-855-984-2276 or visit us at kccharlotte.org or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.